Our towns are the heart of America. Some say they're gone, moved on, or simply faded away. But there's a new American town on the map. It's a town with a big heart and an even bigger ambition. A town where modern progress meets rich history, where the arts meet innovation, and where companies meet community. A town that you can explore with all of your senses, from the fresh air in the Ozarks to the fresh cuisine on your plate. That town is Bentonville, Arkansas. A town to visit, to see, to breathe, and to discover. Visit Bentonville, a new American town. All right. Welcome, everyone. It's a beautiful day in Bentonville, Arkansas today. We're coming to you from the Haxton Road Studios. I've had a great last few weeks since our last episode. Had some great lunches with some friends, spent some time with some family, of course, had some great coffee. For those of you that aren't familiar with me, Jen Cousins, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm from Arkansas. I'm an Arkansas girl born and bred and lived south part of Arkansas for a bit and grew up there, graduated from high school there, and then moved to Northwest Arkansas. And Bentonville is such a great place to be and to live and to experience life. I absolutely adore it. I think for me, this Bentonville community and Northwest Arkansas community brings a sense of collaboration and togetherness that is unparalleled in any place else that I have been. And it's what keeps me here, and it's what makes me such a proud member of this community. Another reason that I love Bentonville is because you never know what you're going to get or what you're going to see or who you're going to meet. So this morning, I was walking into the studio and I run into Superman, literally. Actually, Superman in his cape, and he's here today. Can we bring in Superman, please? I brought him to us. Of course, right? If you meet Superman on the street, you better bring him in. Ladies and gentlemen, he's here. Superman, welcome. How are you today?
Hello, Jen. It's nice to meet you.
Okay. That cape is fantastic. I love it. Let's tell people who you really are in everyday life. So we're excited today to have in the studio Stace Treat, Interpretation Manager for Crystal Bridges. And for all of those listeners that are out there, Stace is really wearing a cape.
I am.
And I might be dressed as Wonder Woman.
You are.
But we'll get to that in a few minutes. So first off, Stace, welcome, and we're glad to have you. Can you tell me, what is an interpretation manager? I'm pretty sure that that's something that I could use in my everyday life to help me interpret lots of things.
Well, in the museum context, an interpretation manager is somebody that works very closely with the curators to help craft the content and messages for the exhibitions and for the permanent collection galleries as well. I have a counterpart. There are two of us. Samantha Sigman is the other one. And we pretty much split projects because we have a lot going on at Crystal Bridges. And so if you're going into an exhibition or the permanent collection, for example, anything that's written on the walls. So, for example, the text that would introduce a section or introduce a theme in the galleries. I work with the curators to craft those. The curators usually come up with those using the art as a guide. And then I help to frame the content and the meanings in such a way that an everyday visitor can understand it. So interpretation managers are very guest-centered. I'm always thinking about the variety of guests that we have coming. So I'm also thinking of things like access and inclusion, having scripts and different kinds of materials that can help our listening and vision impaired folks, as well as learning impaired. I also work in the realm of like our audio tours or our in-gallery interactive. So if you see a digital interactive or you see a drawing activity, usually the interpretation managers have led that effort in collaboration often with the educators.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. So for those of our listeners that don't know, can you give us the scoop on Crystal Bridges? Where did this cool museum come from? I'm privileged to get to go whenever I want and every day if I would like, except for Tuesdays.
That's right. We're closed on Tuesdays.
Except for Tuesdays. But can you tell our listeners where this this cool museum comes from.
Yeah, sure. So Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art was born out of a vision from our founder and our board chair, Alice Walton. The goal was really twofold. First, to provide access to not only art, not just any art, but actually to one of the greatest collections of American art around in the world. So we would, you know, the first idea was that we really wanted a world-class museum that could, you know, that could live on par with places like the Whitney Museum of American Art in New York, or, you know, Amon Carter in Fort Worth, that kind of thing. But really, Alice Walton's primary goal was to make art accessible to this region in particular. She grew up at a time when there was nothing like this, and she and her mother, Helen, would go to Tulsa or Kansas City to see art. And so artists had a huge impact on Alice. She's been a collector for many years. And so she decided with the family to take this land that was their family land and create this museum in the heart of Bentonville to serve our region. So that's sort of how it started. Our mission is to welcome all in a setting that unites the power of art with the beauty of nature. And we take that welcome all very seriously. We do that with unique architecture, our focus on inclusion. And of course, we have the permanent collection, which is really quite a stellar snapshot example. I guess I would say also, you know, it spans from the early American era to contemporary art. We're also exploring pre-contact, so indigenous people. We want to have them to have a voice and in the story of American art as well. And then we have the outdoor component. We've got 4 miles of art trails on our 120 acres of grounds, and that is all free to the public.
4 miles. I didn't realize it was that much.
It's pretty wild. I mean, if you really go out and start to walk them all, mm-hmm. it's great. It's great lunchtime exercise for all of us.
Oh, for sure. I've walked it several times. My mom and I actually took a journey this summer, and so I had to walk a lot to get prepped for that. And so I would go and walk at Crystal Bridges and walk the trails.
That's
there
a good place for it
to get that. So, it was definitely something that then spoke to me. I got to experience all of the art while I was getting in my steps and getting in my exercise and getting to experience that nature and the art that's within the environment.
Yeah, it's really important for, you know, for Alice and the Walton family to share the beauty of the Ozark Forest and, you know, the grounds that they grew up in as children and got to enjoy and explore. Like a lot of us did that mm-hmm. are local, you know, grew up nearby and have enjoyed the beauty and splendor of the Ozark region. I will say, though, that I wanted to say that, you know, Crystal Bridges opened on 11-11-11. So we've been open a little bit over 7 years, I guess. Is that right? The years get away from me. But anyway, and since then,
is that six? I think it's a little over
maybe
six.
Maybe six. Maybe
no. Wait, what is the year?
It's 2019 now.
Oh yeah, so seven.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
I lost a year. I lost a year in a few seconds.
There's this thing at the museum called Crystal Bridges time, and it's sort of like this warp. You know, we're always, you know, juggling so many projects and trying to do new and innovative things that time really is kind of weird there, you know. But anyway, I do want to say that since then, and in those, I guess, about 6.5 years, we've welcomed over 4.2 million people, including 240,000 school children who come to experience art, many of them for the first time in a setting like this. And they get to do it for free as well. Yes, we have a robust education program where we actually pay for transportation costs, substitute teachers, and we also feed them a healthy lunch while they're here. So that's been a really big mission for Crystal Bridges, and we hope to just continue to grow it as we go on.
Yeah, what a great way to give back. So tell me a little bit about you. Are you from Bentonville? How long have you been at Crystal Bridges? What's a little bit about Stace?
Okay. Well, I am actually originally from Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. So I am from Northwest Arkansas, born and raised. And I have spent many years in other places, working in Dallas, going to grad school in North Carolina, teaching in the college setting. I was on faculty at Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa, just before I came here. Mm-hmm. And this job of interpretation manager, I didn't quite know what it was, but when it was posted, I read it and I thought, huh, I could do that. And so I applied, and luckily they brought me on about 3.5 years ago. So I have loved every minute of it, working on very different kinds of projects, getting to work with all of our different curators, who are also a really diverse group of people. And so that's kind of how I come to Crystal Bridges from recent. And I still live in Fayetteville. So it's kind of fun living in Fayetteville and working in Bentonville that I get a little bit of, you know, the whole region.
Right.
Flavors of all of it. So it's quite fun to enjoy that.
Absolutely.
And to watch Bentonville change. Oh, my goodness. It's a very different place than when I was a kid. So it was a very different place than when I left about 13, 14 years ago.
Yeah.
It's been amazing, the transformation Crystal Bridges and other cultural entities have brought.
Right. So I think that's one of my questions for you. Besides Crystal Bridges, what is one of those big changes that you have seen between the time you left and came back here in Bentonville?
In Bentonville, wow. Well, the downtown area has had, it's sort of a renaissance, right? It's a, I love how they've preserved it. It's got this very almost film set quality to it.
Yeah.
It's very, very cute and quaint. I have friends that have come to visit me from other states have commented on that frequently. The food scene is amazing. The fact that we're sitting in Haxton Road Studios right now and what's going
on
with them. The music scene is really exciting. And of course, Crystal Bridges is opening what we would call, I guess, a sister or brother entity, The Momentary, which will open in 2020. Stay tuned for more details and news about what that's going to bring. But very, very exciting.
Very exciting stuff. Okay, so you have this really awesome exhibit at Crystal Bridges right now, which is why today you're dressed as Superman and I have this lovely Wonder Woman costume on.
Yes.
So much fun. This whole experience is just incredible. Can you tell me and tell our listeners about the exhibit Men of Steel, Women of Wonder?
Yeah. Super excited to talk about this exhibition. It's probably my favorite that I've ever worked on at Crystal Bridges, to be honest, just because I come from, my brother was a huge comic book fan and nerd growing up. And so by osmosis, I grew up with all these characters and got into them. Men of Steel, Women of Wonder, our assistant curator, Alejo Benedetti, this is his brainchild. And this is a passion that he's had since grad school. So he's worked very hard and very thoughtfully and thoroughly in trying to explore these characters of Superman and Wonder Woman in heroic and familiar ways, but also using them to reflect on complex social issues, issues of like social justice, national identity, and even sexuality. The exhibition, by the way, is on view through April 22nd. But one of the things that we love about this show is that it's really using Superman and Wonder Woman, who were really the very first American superheroes born in the Great Depression and World War I era. And they became, I guess, what we could call the Zeus and Hera, if you will, of American mythology in terms of pop culture. Almost immediately, these characters were always explored through different avenues of pop culture, films, radio, TV, comic books, et cetera, et cetera. And have lived in this and thrived in this very diverse media landscape. So what Alejo wanted to do was, hey, how has the art world explored these characters? And he had done some research, of course, when he was getting his master's. And so he's been thinking about this for several years. And so basically what he's done is he's assembled over 70 works of art, and they range from drawings, paintings, prints, sculptures, photographs, video, mixed media works, installations, lots of variety.
All sorts of variety,
you know, and so it follows these sort of themes of like the heroes we know, depictions of the characters as we're familiar with them. It also has a section called Origin Stories, where we explore the actual art context of their emergence in the 30s and 40s, which is a really Rosie the Riveter, Pinup Girls, Circus Strongmen from the old circus and vaudeville days. As well as labor prints, like these WPA programs.
Oh, yeah. They were amazing. The women working in the factories and then the men that were working on the steel, whether that was in the skyscrapers that they were building. That one image of the two men that are, like, looking over.
Yeah.
Like, I stopped and was like, oh, my goodness, this piece.
Yes, even the title of the show is actually inspired by that print that you're talking about. It's called Men of Steel, and it shows two steel workers sitting on a beam high above the Manhattan skyline.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of listeners know that iconic picture of that's actually a photograph of the men sitting having lunch on a beam. But that idea was, you know, all about during the Depression, steel workers and blue collar workers actually helped to lift people out of the Depression through labor. And that whole idea of lift upward, of upward mobility, of building upward, all of that helped to inspire the creators of Superman to create a character that could fly. And that was also, you know, Clark Kent, he wears a white collar, and he's sort of a white collar person, professional.
Yeah.
But when he becomes Superman, he opens his shirt and reveals the blue costume underneath, which is a direct response or relation to the heroic nature of the blue collar worker.
Yeah.
So these kinds of themes are something that Alejo pulled together and pulled out and presents in a way that's really fascinating. And then from there, we explore like vulnerability as a subject. We explore also a range of ways in which a lot of people who are who have been historically overlooked or discriminated against or whatever have used these characters as a way to hold Americans accountable for truth, justice in the American way, this ethical sensibility that these characters often represent.
The images, the works of the two immigrants, in that where the lady, the Wonder Woman, is doing the laundry at the laundromat and is a laundry worker, and then the Superman riding the bicycle to deliver.
Yeah.
Those two pieces were really powerful to me in how we have this immigration stuff that's happening present day and how much that continues to be such superheroes that culture of folks continues to be superheroes in our environment. And it was really powerful to me.
Yeah. That artist is Dulce Pinchon. And what she did was she lives in Brooklyn, and she took a series of photographs of a variety of Mexicans primarily. And the two that are featured in the show are from Pueblo, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they work very hard here in the States, and they send money home to their families in Pueblo. And so the titles of each of those paintings basically tells the story.
Yeah.
She identifies who they are and what they do for a living, and how much money they send home a month, and then portrays them in these heroic ways. So, yeah, those are the kinds of things that that Alejo was very keen to find, is the different artists who were using these characters to make a statement or to make a challenge or to celebrate through these characters something about the American spirit and the American identity.
Yeah, there's so much that made me think, which is what I'm
Wonderful.
Sure art is supposed to do,
yes.
Right? That
Success.
Art and exhibitions are supposed to make you think and make you look at things a little bit differently. And I had not considered myself like a big comic book person. I
sure.
grew up with my underoos sporting them for Wonder Woman. And
those are making a comeback, too.
I mean, but I was not one of those people that just got into it a lot. And so I was like, okay, let's go check this out. And how much it moved me and made me think and look at the world differently. And
it was really incredible when for my own personal experience. And I'm anxious to see and to hear what other people experience as they go through the exhibit, because it really made me question things and think and feel something really deep.
Well, that really warms my heart to hear that. That's the goal. That is the goal of Crystal Bridges writ large, is to provide a space where people can experience art in their own way, you know, respond to what they respond to. And some of the works in this show are challenging, and some, you know, might be a bit offensive to certain groups. But nonetheless, we present this this material through art as a way to spark conversation and thought and critical thinking, and even debate. You know, it's a wonderful thing for this area as we grow, as we evolve, and as we, you know, take up our place in the world stage, quite frankly, is what's happening in Bentonville, Arkansas right now. I will say, I do want to do a little plug, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I host the podcast for Crystal Bridges called Museum Way. And we, on that podcast, we like to explore in more depth the inner workings of the museum. And so we like to talk to a lot of the people who work there behind the scenes to give our listeners and the area a little bit more knowledge and insight into how a world-class art museum works, so that people do feel more connected and more interested and curious. Curiosity is a big thing for us. We love to inspire people to think and to ask and to wonder.
For sure. So I am a listener.
Yay!
I'm a listener of Museum Way, and I would encourage everybody that's hearing this today to go subscribe to that as well, because you're going to hear some really interesting things and provoke some other thought, and that's always a good thing.
Yeah,
always
thank
a good
you.
Thing. Okay, Stace, anything else you want to tell me about Crystal Bridges or the exhibit before we move on to our final section, which is going to be a lot of fun?
Oh, there's so much I can say about Crystal Bridges. We have our own podcast.
That's
so.
Right. That's right.
I will say just a couple more demographic things that are kind of fun and interesting that people might find pretty relevant. Our attendance totals, I mentioned earlier, we've had 4.2 million people.
It's incredible.
Yeah, that was way more than we ever expected, let me tell you. And we've been working hard to accommodate and welcome those people. But 50% of those total visitors are usually first-timers, and 50% are returning people. They come from all 50 states. We've had visitors from all 50 states and 6 out of the 7 continents. We see people from Brazil, Germany, Hong Kong, Israel, Russia, Switzerland, and even Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. The highest concentration of visitors come from Arkansas. And then our touch states like Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Kansas, Louisiana. And interestingly enough, California, New York, and Florida rank annually among the top 10 states for visitation. So that just gives you a flavor of where people are coming from.
Right.
And it's all walks of life. It is every age group. It is every income level. It is famous people to everyday folks like you and I, well, except for Superman and Wonder Woman, of course.
That's right.
But anyway, that's something I wanted to share with your listeners to give a context of actually who's coming to Bentonville.
And so all of the listeners know that they are welcome, and we would love to have them in Bentonville and at Crystal Bridges.
Ah, they're hanging out. They're going to your restaurants. They're shopping in your shops. They're walking the square. They're here. And so that, to me, what Crystal Bridges brings in is shared through the whole community. And I think it's
absolutely
a beautiful thing.
It's a gorgeous thing. It's a gorgeous thing that makes me so happy to be here.
Yay.
Okay. So we're going to go into this last section of the podcast for today. And we've asked some folks what they would ask of Superman and Wonder Woman. Are you ready for this?
Okay. I'm in character.
Okay.
Drop my voice.
That's right.
I'm in character.
I don't know that Wonder Woman can drop her voice and get to where it needs to be, but that's okay. We're going to pretend.
You're perfect.
So I'm going to go first. I'm going to ask Superman some questions.
Alrighty.
Which do you like more, your super life or your normal life?
Hmm. Well, I'll say my normal life, and there's a reason for that. For one thing, being incognito, being Clark Kent, allows me to blend in with the crowd. So I can watch people be real and be who they are. I can interact with them on the human level. When The Cape comes out, I am an international celebrity, and I am a symbol, and I must behave and act and occupy that role. Great deal of responsibility comes with that. But as Clark Kent, the journalist, I can observe and I can learn. And I love that. Anonymity is pretty cool.
It is.
And quite necessary to my mental health as Superman.
Well, and it's necessary to the responsibility.
Absolutely. What would Wonder Woman answer to that question?
I think Wonder Woman would go with her normal life as well. And for me, it's because, similar to you about that responsibility and needing that moment to recharge, to be able to go help others and save others. And so being able to recharge, to be able to give back in a huge way at that super life level.
Excellent.
Okay. Superman, does the outfit feel as uncomfortable as it looks?
Quite the opposite. It's very comfortable. Can you imagine if you spent your whole day in life in your PJs?
Yeah.
And you have a cape on that flows when the wind. I mean, it's pretty awesome. It's actually a lot more comfortable than my Clark Kent clothes.
For sure. I think Wonder Woman would have to agree. It's pretty comfortable. It's pretty comfortable. The only thing I would say is it's a little cold.
Well, yes.
Wonder Woman's outfit's a little cold.
Well, you know, they did. These characters were born of a time of very gendered fashion.
That's right.
Where Wonder Woman has a lot more skin. And this goes back to the pinup inspiration, right?
So, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, Superman, do you envy any other superhero?
I wouldn't say I envy any superhero. I admire all of them. I particularly admire, of course, Wonder Woman. She's oftentimes been, in some ways, the feminine counterpart to our Justice League team. And she's been an example of a very strong and powerful woman. So that I admire. I think all supermen could learn a lot more about themselves from Wonder Women.
Wonder Women, of course, because they're all over.
Everywhere.
So I think for Wonder Woman, I don't know that there's envy of anything or jealousy or anything like that. But I would say that if I was going to have to say that I'm envious of someone, it would probably be Captain Marvel, because she gets to wear a lot more clothes.
Captain Marvel's pretty awesome.
There you go. That's my only.
Warmer outfit.
Okay, Superman, what do you Google in your spare time?
That's a telling question. To be honest, I Google a lot of recipes and cat videos.
Cat videos. Yes. That's awesome. So Wonder Woman in her spare time Googles low maintenance, cool, trendy hairstyles that work with a crown.
Yeah. You're a perfect example of it. Looks great. And headphones at this moment.
That's right. Like, there's a lot of things happening on my head at the moment.
Go to the website and check out the pictures, folks.
Lots of things happening. All right. You've heard it straight from here, from Superman, everyone. Stace, thank you. I can't begin to thank you enough. But before we go, tell everyone what the next exhibit is at Crystal Bridges.
Oh, man, the next exhibit is exciting. It's called Nature's Nation. This is a show that tracks kind of American arts interaction with exploration of and expression of environment. So this goes, I think the earliest works go all the way back to the 18th century, come all the way to the present. You're going to see things, you know, Hudson River Valley is well represented in the show, but so is Ansel Adams. There are a lot of Native American artists that contribute to the show. It was organized by Princeton University, and we're one of the hosting shows. And it's also going to be embedded in a very exciting summertime for us, which is going to be the summer of art and nature. So stay tuned for more of that. But it's going to be a fantastic, beautiful, complex, smart show that's all about the environment.
How fantastic. Besides the next exhibit, what's next for Crystal Bridges as a whole?
Well, we have a lot of things going on. And we continue to have focus exhibitions in our permanent collection. So we're about to open one. I'll just say it's a photo exhibition on Barbies and baseball. Go to our website, crystalbridges.org, to learn more. We also have our very first sculpture in the forest special exhibition called Color Field. And that's really exciting for us. So we're actually going to, debut our very first temporary sculpture exhibition in the forest, which is another program that we've started. We have the whole Forest Concert Series that's going to start up, which, that's one of the most, popular events in the summer in Bentonville. It's just fantastic. And of course, that little project down the street called The Momentary.
That's right. 2020.
It's got its own website too, themomentary.org.
Awesome. So as we're getting ready to close out here, mm-hmm. I'm throwing you don't know about this. As I was leaving the exhibit, there's some words on the wall.
Oh.
That I thought were just incredible. And that's kind of how I would like to round out this. And now that I know what an interpretation manager is, maybe you helped craft this. But it says, Superman and Wonder Woman are powerful, complex, ever-evolving symbols. Ingrained in popular culture through the work of brilliant artists, they asked us all to consider our own roles as humans of steel, people of wonder, and citizens of humanity.
I did write that.
Yeah.
With Alejo.
That, as I left, it was like the perfect closing moment for me. So thank you.
That makes me very happy. Thank you very much. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, it is. And as a guest, I felt it.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
So
I can't wait to tell Alejo.
Yes, for sure. Please pass along my love of it. So as we close out, we have all sorts of other cool things that you're going to want to check out here in Bentonville. Travel to our great city and see some really cool things, including the Future is Female exhibit at 21C Gallery Hotel that you can see now through the end of the year. The Power of Music Festival is coming up May 2nd, which is always a great time. And then Bentonville Film Festival is starting May 7th. I can't wait.
I would never have imagined these kinds of things happening in Bentonville, Arkansas 10 years ago.
Right?
I just would never have guessed it. So it's fantastic.
It is. So ladies and gentlemen, come visit Bentonville. Check out the Men of Steel, Women of Wonder exhibit now through April 22nd. Correct?
That's correct.
April 22nd. Okay. And you can find Crystal Bridges online at crystalbridges.org, as well as Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. You can check out all of the latest and greatest cool stuff at visitbentonville.com as well. It's been a beautiful day here in Bentonville. Stace and I are going to walk outside and see how many awkward looks we can get with our great costumes. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you soon.